We're looking at the Christian's behavior towards society. Go to Luke 6:31. We've had the Christian's behavior towards his acquaintances, the Christian's behavior toward himself, the Christian's behavior towards new people. When you say the Christian's behavior towards society, what does God say a Christian is supposed to do for people who don't go to church? This is not to say that this lesson could not apply to other people that go to church, but when the lessons kind of got it geared towards people that you know outside of church. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse number 31. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. That's the golden rule. It's very important that you quote the golden rule correctly. The golden rule is not this: treat people like they've treated you, because that's how many people... Well, they treat me this way, so that's not the golden rule. The golden rule is, how would you like to be greeted? Then greet people that way. How would you like to be loved? Then express your love that way. Treat people the way you would like to be treated, regardless of how they treat you. That's the golden rule. That should be a major truth on how I treat society. I don't expect society to understand me or accept me. They crucified the Savior. I don't expect full acceptance from the world. But God says, when it comes to people that are in the world or in society, treat them the way you want to be treated. Go to Romans 13:9. Romans 13 and verse number 9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. He's going to give you the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Once again, the golden rule rephrased. You're supposed to love others like you love you. Not like they love you, like you love you. If you would do it for yourself, then God says express that love to others. It's important to understand two words. Your character is what you are when nobody's around. Your character is what you are when they shut out the lights. What God knows you to be. Your character. That is different than your testimony. They should coincide, but most of the time they don't. Your testimony is what others think you are. This is the show you put on. When you come to church, it's not that everybody's being a fake and a phony. You do dress up for the Lord, right? You want to be your best for the Lord. And if you did have a bad week, you don't tell everybody about it. How are you doing? Horrible. Oh, sick. You greet everyone. You're kind. And it's not that you're being a hypocrite if you had a bad week and you're pretending to be happy. That's not being a hypocrite. If I don't want to bog everybody down with my problems, if I want to be an encouragement, then I greet people that way. But I may have had a horrible, heartbreaking week. I may have had burdens this week. Unless I feel somebody can really help with them, I give them to the Lord, and then you try to be an encouragement with everybody else, right? And that's not to say it's bad to share burdens. Your testimony is what others think you are in public. Your character is what God knows you to be. When it comes to the Christian's behavior towards society, you can't lose your salvation, aren't you glad? But you can lose your testimony. A testimony is based on trust. If you lose your testimony, let's use something like if you don't control yourself and you lose your anger in public and you explode. Would that cause people to distrust you and kind of be weary of you so you don't explode on them? Sure. What would it take to regain your testimony? Time. Time. Time will rebuild a broken testimony also. The old statement, it shouldn't be true, but it is. God forgives. People don't. You say, people should forgive. I know they should forgive. But God is the only one who truly forgives and forgets our sins. Men don't. So your testimony is rebuilt if it's lost. Your character is what God knows you to be. Your testimony with the world and society is what we're working on. We sang the song this morning. This is a little out of mind. Go to Matthew chapter 5. You say, this is a pretty basic Bible study. If every Christian said, I have a testimony for the Lord that I need to project to the world so that people can see Christ in me, it would change their actions. It would change their decisions. You say, well, everybody thinks about this. I'm not convinced as a pastor that everybody thinks about this. Everybody here does have a testimony. Everybody here, when your name is mentioned, your testimony comes to mind in people's what you stand for, what you live for, your ideals, your what is important to you. Everybody here has a testimony. What keeps me from exploding on? What keeps me from driving like a jerk? My wife, that's right. You know, honey, stop. I can smell the fumes. Back off a little bit. Somebody said, oh, you should give everybody in the church bumper stickers. I love Gospel Light Baptist Church, you know. I'm not sure everybody's driving in the church would be good for the community. Oh, wow. Does everybody at that church drive like that person? You see what I mean? I don't mind a bumper sticker that has a Bible verse on it, like Jesus saves or believe on the Lord Jesus. But those bumper stickers that say, Pastor Nash is my pastor. Could you put that like under your car? Could you put that on your roof where nobody will see it? I think putting bumper stickers on your car that have Bible verses on it is good. But you say, why? Because in a small town like we live in, 14,000 people, word travels fast. In a big city, if somebody loses their testimony in one part of the city, you can normally go to the other side if there's like a million people there, and you can, where nobody knows you, and you can start over again. Here in our farming community, in this rural community, word travels fast. We live here. That's how come when I go to the door and I knock on people's doors and I leave gospel tracts, I'm as nice as can be, even though they're like, I got my own church, and who you think you are? And hey, have a good one. I don't, very rarely do I reply. As a matter of fact, I don't know that I've done it here. You can do it, like I said, if you're in more of a city. I went so on with one guy, his words to the person, he goes, I hate church. Well, somebody's got to go to hell. It might as well be you. I was like, okay, that's a pretty rough answer. He said, I only answer that. He said, that way rough when they get rough with me. I was like, well, amen. Okay, can we do that here? I don't think so. When you go to the door and you're, hey, just wanted to give you an invitation to church and, hey, ask you a question. If you died today, you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Blah, 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 blah. Have a good day. If I ever do anything for you, let me know. You know, and they're, ah, rah, 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 hey, praying for you. God bless. Hey. You stay nice. Syrup is dripping from your mouth. Honey, sugar is flowing. You say, why? Because in a small community, word travels fast. Especially in the day of social media. Everybody here has a testimony with your neighbors, with the people that you work with, and with your family and the people that know you. Everybody here has a testimony. If you look at Matthew 5, verse number 13, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. One of the things that we become, that Jesus told us we are when we get saved, is we're salt. We're the salt of the earth. And I you know, people say, boy, they're salt of the earth people. You know, work hard, pay their bills on time, treat each other right. You know, I understand the salt of the earth thing. But what if you think about what does salt do? Salt, first of all, savors food. Can take something bland and give pizzazz to it, right? What else does salt do? Salt preserves. If you pack meat in salt, it won't spoil. What else does salt do? Salt makes things taste good. It preserves things. Salt also cleans. It's painful if you got a cut, but it will clean it. It will, you rub salt on a wound, it will get sterile. Salt also does something else. They use salt, like Dead Sea salt and stuff like that, in hand, in skin treatments because it makes the skin soft. It makes your skin supple. Salt does many good things. If you took what salt does and just analyzed it, what does salt do? That's what I'm expected to do by being a Christian at work, in society, in my community, in my neighborhood. I'm supposed to help things taste good to God. If the salt have lost his savor, a Christian that has no taste, they don't affect. It's like, okay, if you put salt on your food, you expect a salty taste. And we call that, ooh, that's savory. What would you do if you put salt on your food and it didn't affect it at all? That's worthless. That's what Jesus said. A Christian that does not flavor things and has no testimony is worthless. A Christian that does not flavor things around him is good only to be thrown out and stepped into the dirt or trodden underfoot of men. That's pretty stout. Every Christian here has a testimony that we're all supposed to work on. When others are cussing, how do I savor it? Do I walk away to let them know I don't appreciate that? If Jesus Christ is only a cuss word to you, it's the name I got saved by. God's last name is not damn. That's my Heavenly Father. That's my Creator. That's the one that died for me. Do I need to get vocal? Sometimes I can. Hear somebody say, Jesus Christ. I'll say, wow, do you know him? I got to figure out if that's provoking or not. A little wisdom there would help. Will it be taken well? Will it be taken as a correction? Or can they handle it? Or will it make them blow up more? I'm supposed to savor the area that I'm around because I'm the salt of the earth. I'm also supposed to cleanse. I'm the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. Your testimony is supposed to have an effect on people. Then Jesus says, to society, so we're salt. That is in regards to our testimony. Notice verse number 14. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. God in your Bible is four things. God says, God is love, 1 John 4. God is a spirit, John chapter 4. God is a consuming fire, Hebrews 12. Then in 1 John, God says, God is light. Love, a consuming fire, a spirit, and light. Those are when God says, who am I, what am I, so that we can get some conception of what God is. One of the things God is light. And he says, when you get saved, I come inside you to live, and you become the light of the world. And you're supposed to give light. Give what? Give God to everybody that's around you in darkness. That's the purpose. That's why we sing that song. Oh, that's a kid's song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine. And most people don't even think about what they're singing. Well, I don't have a candle. Okay, or a lighter, you know. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about now that I'm saved, I'm supposed to be a light for God to everybody around me. Because if they're not saved, they're lost. I'm amazed at how many people in our church don't think about people that they know that need to get saved. Sometimes I'll ask. I'm not teaching you this so you can learn how to answer me. I'm saying sometimes I'll say, could I stop by that family member or that person? And they'll go, no, it'll be all right. I'm glad when people do let me stop by. I can make it look like an accident. But at least that shows their thinking. I hope my family gets saved. Amen. But for somebody to go, no, we had one family here. They brought three family members and would not let me witness to them every time they came. This happened 2 years ago. I asked them, I said, do you know where you're going to spend eternity when you die? Two of them were teenagers. One of them was a college-age student. All three of them, separate times, said no. And the family member stepped right in, who'd been going to our church for a little while, stepped right in and goes, oh, they're already saved. They had just told me that they weren't. But they were making it like, well, I don't want you to think that I have any lost family members. And I was like, that's what church is. So Jesus said this. Think about this just for a second. We're supposed to be a light, giving the light of God, the light of the gospel, in every area that we go to. We're salt. We're a light. Watch this. And to finish it off, look at verse 16. Ready? It says, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I couldn't think of a better biblical description of a testimony. What kind of a Christian does the world think I am? Now, I don't have to live by their standards, but watch this. Every lost person knows a Christian isn't supposed to be a whoremonger. Right? They may not know any Bible, but they know if I call myself a Christian, I'm not supposed to be an immoral person. Every lost person out there knows if I say I'm saved and on my way to heaven and I love Jesus, they would lose respect for me if they heard me cuss. And they don't need 5 Bible verses on what's wrong with cussing. There's things that they know. And I'm not trying to make everybody happy. I'm trying to be a witness for the Lord. I'm trying. My relationship to society is supposed to be, I'm supposed to be interested in my testimony. If I go down to the Wawa, you know, and I'm standing waiting for food, I should not stink. I should know how to shower and use deodorant. Especially when I go, hey, could I invite you to my church? Wow, does everybody at your church stink like you do? How do they view you? What kind of a light are you? What is your testimony in society where you work? There's only 2 systems in your Bible. You are either in the world or you're in the church. You mean saved or lost? No. You are, when you're at church, you've come out from out of the world and you've assembled. And when you go back to your home or work or anywhere else, you're in the world. You're either in church or you're in the world. That's society. That helps us kind of think a little bit. Next, there's only 2 types of people, saved and lost. If they're saved, they're your brothers and sisters in Christ. If they're lost, then what's the Bible term used? They're your neighbors, right? Love thy neighbor. Love lost people like you would love yourself. Not your brothers and sisters. Love your neighbors. Our manners are supposed to be for others. Take your Bible and go to Romans 14:7. You say, preacher, everybody thinks about this. I don't think as many Christians think about this as they should. When you hear Brother Dorsey talk, he said, when I got saved, he said, the testimony of my job and what I did, he's a drywaller, right? I think for, you could ask him, I think 40 years or something like that, he was a drywaller. He said, when I got saved at age 46, he was 46 years old when he got saved. He said, when I got saved, he said, the pressure for me to do my job right went up. He said, because I was telling people I was saved, I was a Christian, and then they would judge my Christianity by how good of a job I did. He said, my secular work, the pressure to, what was he talking about? He was talking about his testimony. My testimony, I found out, became very important to me as a Christian. Because if I lose my testimony, if they don't respect me, why in the world would they let me tell them about Jesus? You're just one of those fake, hypocritical, lying Christians. I've heard enough, you know what I mean? And the world's had enough of that. And none of us are perfect. But if we kept this in mind, it adds an impact. You have a lifetime to make a difference with your family, your neighborhood, and the people you work with. When you die, what type of a difference did you make? It will be based on your testimony. How God uses you in the lives of other people is based on your testimony. What they think of you. You say, well, they don't really know me. I know, but what type of a person do you portray to them? Well, I'm not phony. What you see is what you get. Okay, but we're all supposed to be showing Jesus to everybody. When the world looks at me, do they see Jesus? When the world looks at me, what do they see? Do they see hope? Do they see love? Do they see charity? When the world looks at me, what do they see? I'm not going to change my standards for anybody, but I hope if they disagree with me, they could at least say, he's sincere, and he means what he says, and he's a straight shooter. And he lives what he preaches. He has a testimony. He's not fake. I disagree with him, but I also know he's real. That's a Christian testimony. Look at Romans 14:7. Watch this. Romans 14:7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Everybody here affects somebody else. Nobody lives just for you. You affect others by everything you do. It's either positive or it's negative. God's trying to teach you that here in Romans 14. verse number 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Destroy not with thy meat. Here's what they're talking about. They would have meat that was sacrificed in the open temples to the emperor at the temple prostitution places to where you worship the Roman emperor. Okay? It was public prostitution, it was filth, it was paganism, it was heathenism, and they would take the meat from that temple, and some Christians would say, hey, they were going to throw it away, and I didn't have a problem eating it. But yeah, but that meat was sacrificed to the emperor, and then, you know, they threw it away. And the Christians are saying here, I don't have a problem eating that meat. Other Christians would say, you're going to eat meat that was sacrificed to a false god? I wouldn't touch that meat. Some would say that meat's dirty. Some would say that meat's fine to eat. Don't make somebody else stumble because of what you believe. If you believe it's all right to eat that meat, make sure it wouldn't offend somebody else if they thought it was wrong to eat that meat. I don't think you should be eating that meat. They offered that to the emperor. That's filthy. That's idolatrous. I'm hungry, man. It's free and it ain't spoiled yet, and I'm going to eat it. I feel like if I pray over it, if it offends them, here's what Romans 14 is saying. Take the other Christian into, don't hurt somebody. You should care how you come across to people if they can handle what you believe is acceptable. And one more verse on that. Look at verse number 20. For meat, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. Look at verse 21. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Well, I think you ought to only go to a Christian doctor. I don't think that. I think God can use lost doctors. But if a Christian believes that, I'm not going to argue with him about it. I don't want to be a stumbling block to them. You understand? I may believe, no, I don't have a problem going to a lost doctor. I don't have a problem going to a doctor. I don't go very often, but I don't have a problem going to a doctor. But there are some people, their stand in that area is stronger than mine. Well, then I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to try to convince them to go against their conscience and what God's put on their heart. That's none of my business. All he's saying here is take others into consideration and don't hurt somebody with how you come across. That is part of our testimony. Our testimony. Manners are for everybody. We should be appropriate in how we dress. We should. I mentioned being clean. We should be courteous. If I bump into somebody by accident, I'm talking to somebody and I back up, if I feel, whether it's a man or a woman, I would go, I'm sorry, excuse me. I have no right to touch you. If I did, then I'm sorry. But that's manners. That's being courteous. If I need to apologize, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I don't want to. That's all part of your testimony. Manners are for other people. And we could cover obedience to laws and ordinances. 1 Peter 2:13. It's a good verse.